Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello and welcome to the Basketball Addicts Podcast, the one podcast in the world that answers the only question that ever truly mattered in the whole entire world. I don't care what you say, is making myself the finals. You can't get in. I can hear from outside the finals. You can't even get in. And that's where we're going to go today because we're about 10 games away from the end of the season. I mean, real basketball has started. We had the Ja Morant thing that happened. He's back on the court. I mean, he's showing, Ja Morant. With everything that was happening with him, I mean, LeBron might be coming back today. He's doubtful for today. There's a lot of different ways we can go with today's episode. So I'm going to kick it off to my partner in crime, Jason. What are you thinking today about the current level of basketball?
Man, I mean, LeBron James almost coming back is like, it's like Batman's return.
Yeah.
Like, he literally posted that, like, picture of him in the cryo take. One. Most
that's from Dragon Ball.
Most of the year.
Yes.
Oh, okay. That's the one anime I haven't watched. I'm a big anime guy.
I haven't
watched that one. It's too many episodes. I can't do it.
Watch the movies. Watch the movies.
Okay. I'll try that. Okay. But I mean, it's crazy to me that, you know, he's just takes his care of his body so much and he's such a fucking professional at a ridiculously high level. And this Laker team. Because there's so many gosh darn questions in the West. Like, everything's gone up in smoke. Like, everything.
Exactly.
Like, the Denver Nuggets are still the Denver Nuggets, but nobody ever believed in them to make it the NBA championship. You know what I mean? And then we were like, okay, well, Kevin Durant and the Phoenix Suns are going to put that shit together. Well, Kevin Durant only played three fucking games.
Exactly.
One of them against Charlotte Hornets. One of them was against Dallas and Luka. Neither one of them defense. So we haven't seen them play against a complete team yet. John Morant's out here fucking acting crazy, you know.
Yeah.
Dylan Brooks is like literally the most controversial man every single time he plays the Golden State Warriors.
He's the new Draymond.
He's not Draymond. He's
right.
Not Draymond. Draymond's a way better player.
He's Draymond with the attitude, though.
Yes. So, like, they don't seem like they're ready to win a championship because they got so many fucking mental issues and other issues. We kind of believed in them to do it. We kind of believed in the Suns to do it. And it's not like the Clippers, like, everybody hates Russell Westbrook, but
I don't
think that they run a good enough offense and they're so gosh darn predictable. Paul George got hurt, right? He twisted his ankle. I don't know how long he's out for. But when LeBron's getting healthy, the Lakers could come out of the West. That's how crazy this is. Like,
wait.
Everybody's getting hurt. Something's bad's happening to every fucking team, Chris.
You know what this looks like? Reminds me of?
No.
And you might be thinking, you're not thinking the same thing I'm thinking?
No.
2021 NBA playoffs.
How does it remind you of that? I don't remember anybody.
Everybody being hurt, or it's like, and it was so weird in the West that it was like teams that didn't look great anymore. We thought they were going to win. It's the 2021 NBA playoffs all over again. It's going to be some random team that wins the finals out of nowhere. Yeah. That gets the right matchup in the first round and runs through the West. Gets the right matchup in the East and runs through it. Like it's going to be one of those type of deals again.
Yeah, I mean, the Lakers, man, I it's just, they play so well together. They really seem like they really want to win. AD's playing well. You know
really
what I
good.
Mean? Like, it's everything's coming together at the right time for them. And if LeBron James is healthy, who's going to beat them?
Listen. Right? Listen. You're damn right.
He's probably going to come back, but, like, if they... It depends on what happens to Phoenix. Because if Phoenix faces a team like the Kings, for example, easy first-round matchup. I don't care how good their offense efficiency is. I don't care that they have number one fucking offense in the league. There's a reason why nobody will ever believe in the Kings. It's because it is very well known that when players play in their first ever NBA playoff series, they always do terrible because they have to adjust to the playoffs. Domantas Sabonis has never played in the playoffs. De'Aaron Fox has never played in the playoffs. All the players over there have never played other than Harrison Barnes, but Harrison Barnes is not a difference maker like that. So they're going to get mollywopped by whoever they placed. It doesn't matter on matchup or blah, 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 blah. It doesn't fucking matter unless they're facing a team like them who's there. This is their first time. So, you know, but if Phoenix gets Golden State and they have Andrew Wiggins back, or, you know, they face the Clippers in the first round and KD's only played like five games, it's going to be an issue. But if they get the Kings and they get to the second round and KD gets to play five or six playoff games, they'll put it together and they'll be, you know, the powerhouse we all expect them to be as long as they're healthy. But man, it's so fucking interesting because if KD doesn't put it together, or if Andrew Wiggins doesn't back and Paul George doesn't come back, and you know, Memphis doesn't put it together, that's like four huge playoff teams that are just not going to be the same,
right? And
it's like, well, I mean, if LeBron's healthy,
if LeBron's healthy, I'm taking him on any team over every other team, like that, healthy LeBron versus everybody, in my opinion, because it's like. Think about it for a second. You have the Lakers, right? The Lakers who were wrote off at the beginning of the season, right? They make a couple big changes at the trade deadline, move Russ. You know what I mean? However I may feel about that, that's besides the point. Move Russ, get a lot of young pieces, a lot of pieces that can, you know, that can really work well around AD and LeBron. And they have not played together. They've only played with AD. And they've been playing good. They've been playing really well. AD has been really been taking on that really big... I mean, that role we were expecting him to take, he's really becoming that player now. Even though I'm like, I'm never the one to say it's too late to become that player. He's becoming that player now. Like, over the past couple games, I'm gonna knock on wood, you know, no finger sprains, no broken pinky, no, I don't know, overextended thumb. We don't want any of that stuff for AD to be out for a whole month and a half because of pinkies. But, you know, once he comes back, I mean, once LeBron comes back, if he plays tonight, even if he plays next week, I'm still hopeful for the Lakers going forward. Any team that LeBron's on, I'm automatically picking immediately.
Yeah, it's so interesting because, like, Andrew Wiggins' controversy, like, I don't trust the fact that what is being reported is true because it just, like, went viral from TikTok. You know, the thing about.
But if it is, it's kind of messed up.
It's messed up. That sounds fucking, like, I don't know. That sounds crazy.
That's crazy.
If that's true, I'm so sorry for you, Andrew. Wait. My friends, but
I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
I'm not meaning to laugh. I'm sorry, but the way that it was worded, the way that it came out, I was like, "Damn, if that's true." For those of you who don't know, the story going around, and we don't know if it's true or not, is that Wiggins was raising a child that wasn't his, and now he's like trying to figure it out, and that's why he hasn't been playing basketball now. I wasn't laughing because of that. I'm laughing because of the story and how outrageous it sounds. Like that's not, in my opinion, I don't know. You know what I mean? I don't have any children yet. You know, I feel like I don't think that's a good enough reason to not play basketball, but that's just me. You know what I mean? That's just me. I feel like that. I don't know. I don't know personally, but I just feel like that's just me. That's not a good enough reason to not play basketball, but everybody's different. He might be taking it differently, especially as he's to be raising that child for his entire life. Mm-hmm. So it might be something. There was, like, you know, the connection. I don't know. I hope that's not it. Prayers up to Andrew Wiggins. However, I hope he comes back to play basketball soon. You know, he was really key component of that, of the reason why the Warriors won the championship last year. And without him, they're not the same team, clearly. No. So, yeah.
Yeah, I agree with you. They really need him for the defense and the spacing, three-point shooting. He fits so well in them, for them, and they don't really have another option that they trust. You know, but this is the result of this year. You know what I mean? Like, Jonathan Kuminga is the type of guy that you would want to be the three right now, but they're not playing him because they care too much about system fit right now.
Mm-hmm.
And we're seeing that with James Wiseman with those big games that he's been having. Like, James Wiseman's showing so much more skill than we saw with the Warriors, but there was flashes and there was point in times where we saw that with James Wiseman, but, you know, he never got the opportunity. And, you know, Steve Kerr, for the first time in my basketball loving time, has become a coach that I view as really making mistakes. For a long time, I thought Steve Kerr never made a mistake. He was always maximizing everything. This is the first time where I look at Steve Kerr and I'm like, you're not really getting the most out of the talent here. And I felt like this all year. And that's why, even though when they get in the playoffs, they might still have Steph. That's why it's tough to trust them. It's tough because they've shown you all year who they kind of really are. You
know what I mean? Their record on the road is atrocious. Like, how do you become a a championship team but can't win against teams in their home stadium?
Yeah,
but they're great in great. What is it called? Is it Oracle? I don't know if it's Oracle anymore. It's still Oracle. Where they move? I thought they moved.
I think it's something else now.
Yeah, something else. Wherever they are now, the Warriors court, you know, home court. They're great there, but as soon as they come to Cleveland, as soon as they go to Milwaukee, they're like terrible. It's just like, how is that possible?
Yeah, I agree, man. And something that I've been hearing a lot about lately is, which bugs the shit out of me, is people are falling off the Boston Celtics, basically.
How could you?
Like, the theory that's rolling around right now is because Jason Tatum's hitting a shooting slump. People are theorizing that the Boston Celtics are basically, because they're not winning as many games right now, they're still in the number two seed, but they're still not, like, dominating like they were in the first half of the year.
Mm-hmm.
The Boston Celtics are still the second best team in the East, all right?
Yeah.
Like, this is the second best team in the league still, you know what I mean? And just because somebody's in a shooting slump doesn't mean they'll shoot their stuff, they won't get back on track. Like, that's a very natural thing for shooters, anybody that's ever played basketball. You know, it's a mental thing, right? You get a mental block and you got to, you know, you try to get enough shots up to get past that block. And basically, it's like people are now putting the 76ers above the Boston Celtics. Like, I watched them play a game. Joel Embiid is fucking ridiculous. Like,
yes.
Joel Embiid is, I really feel like all-time-wise, he's putting himself in a premier spot where you can have debates with him top five, top six, top seven, all-time center. I mean, how can you not? The man's averaging like 33, 11, being a good defender at the rim. But, you know, people really misconstrued rim defense. But I really think that, you know, the 76ers are a good team, but they're still not the Celtics or the Bucks. Like, you know, I watched them play a game recently, and it was just it's still the same old 76ers for me. Yeah.
I just don't really understand how you could be off the Boston Celtics so quickly. I still believe in the Boston Celtics. You know, they're still the number two team in the East. I feel like the East has gotten to a point where they might be creeping up on being better than the West at this point, just with the number of teams in there.
Close.
With the teams they have now, especially with Boston, the way Boston's been playing, and you have to understand that it's just a slump and it's the regular season, right? Whether they go in, I mean, as long as they stay in the top couple seeds, they're fine, right? But once the playoffs start, that's when we really will know what the real team is again. You know what I mean? Like, if 76ers will show us something or they won't. Boston will show us something, will prove us right, or they'll prove us wrong. One way or the other, I'm not going to be off the Boston Celtics. I don't care how bad it gets. I'm a really critical guy, especially of Jason Tatum, because I think that sometimes he just goes mind blank. I don't know what happens there, but he doesn't have the greatest basketball IQ at points, and I call him out on it at times. But it's just like, I'm fine with it. Okay, I understand that there's times and there's periods. Everybody's not gonna be Curry. They're not gonna knock down 50% of their shots every game, or, you know, they're not gonna have high percentage of shots, especially Jason Tatum when his bread and butter is, and he has a very good green light. So I'm okay with him, you know, chucking up shots for a minute and them trying to put it together and him trying to get past that mental block, because once they get in the playoffs, then we'll really see the you know, who the real number one seed is. We'll see who's a better team really is. So I'm not really worried about it.
Yeah, I mean, for me personally, I really think that somebody that's underappreciated is Jaylen Brown. Jalen Brown's having
season,
and I don't care how big of a shooting slump Jason Tatum's in. Don't forget that Jalen Brown's still there. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, he's so special. They play such good defense. You know, the Bucks are the Bucks. We all know how great they are. And, you know, something that I definitely disagree with a lot of people with is Jason Tatum's, like, I think people misconstrue tough shot making with inefficient basketball a lot. People don't understand that Jason Tatum's cut from the same cloth as Kobe. But for some reason, Kobe got a free pass for this. Like, mm-hmm. you know what I mean? Like, tough shot makers, tough shot creators have lower free percentages.
Yeah.
It's more shots because it's tougher to make them. Tougher to stop them, too.
Yeah. And the reason why I think that maybe Kobe might have gotten a pass where Jason Tatum is being, you know, kind of criticized for is because of the name, the organization that he's part of, and where and what he meant to that organization. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, Kobe was known for making and taking these shots. You know what I mean? It was, you know, fantastic. Everybody oohs and ahs. You know what I mean? It's been years since that Jason Tatum is now doing this, and it should be the same type of, I would say, reverence, you know, in the sense that, you know, that he's known to take and make these tough shots, but it's not. They don't really look at him like that. I don't know if it's, I mean, I don't think Boston's a small market. I don't know. I don't think it is. But maybe it's just the name hasn't quite become a household name yet, like Jason Tatum. So it's like, it's not like, it doesn't have that Kobe effect to it yet.
Yeah.
Like Jordan. Jordan take and make tough shots, but, you know, he would be looked at different than, like, if LeBron was to do it or something like, well, LeBron's a big name. If like Jamal Murray would have did that, you know what I mean? If it's a name like that, so a name that's not as big would have been like, you know, taking and making tough shots. He'd be like, okay, that's, and he's missing them too. He's like, you know, they would look at it a lot differently. I think it's the name.
Yeah. I mean, like, I think part of the disconnect here, and I deal with this a lot when I'm scouting prospects, is basically, a lot of people that talk about basketball and have basketball opinions played high school basketball. Okay, mm-hmm. And when you play high school basketball and you get coached high school basketball, you get taught what's a good shot and what's not a good shot. And you get taught to play efficient basketball. Well, you're not fucking Jason Tatum. People forget that, okay?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, what you got taught your whole life was a bad shot does not apply to these NBA guys, right?
True.
And, you know, I deal with that a lot with scouting prospects is, you know, the most, like, there's a lot of issues with scouting when it comes to the three-point shooting. A lot of people will get caught up into, okay, this XYZ guy, I'll just say his name, Grady Dick from Kansas, yeah. Right, where he's shooting threes and he's coming off ball screens. He shoots an efficient style of three-point shots, right? It's easier to shoot standstill threes. It's easier to shoot off ball screens. But then we compare it to somebody else that cut shots straight from the three-point line. I'm not going to say names because I don't want to ruin some guys that I love in the draft. But it's like, okay, those guys are different, right? They're harder to stop. Of course, the percentage is going to be lower. Like, get past this. You know what I mean? Like, the efficient shot makers get paid nothing in the NBA. You should ask yourself why, right? Okay, there's a gazillion of them. Jani Green doesn't get paid. Wesley Matthew doesn't get paid. Joe Ingles doesn't get paid. The reason why is because there's a million of them and they don't make a huge difference because it's easy to guard. I'll say it again. It's easy to guard, okay? When the Phoenix Suns had Cam fucking Johnson and Mikal Bridges and Jay Crowder on the wings, it was easy to guard them because all you had to do was close out at them and they couldn't do anything. You could have closed out extra hard. Okay, they're going to get by you. Okay, what, 5% of the time they're going to get to the lane to make a layup? Like, you don't have to stop that. Okay, they're on the wing and there's a bunch of space here and they're not going to do anything, right? Okay, if you swing it to fucking Kevin Durant or Jason Tatum's on the wing, right? And they close out really well. In most situations, the guy would pass out and swing the ball more. Well, Jason Tatum's going to shot create, right? Like, there's extreme value in those shot creators because they can make nothing out of something out of one out of zero. They can make something out of nothing, right? But standstill three-point shooters are just not as valuable. And I forget how I got onto this topic, but, you know, like, it bugs the shit out of me because people really misconstrued that. It leads them to not really understanding the value of tough shot creators. And it bugs the shit out of me. And that's what I got started on this topic.
Yeah, so shot creation, like you were saying, basically, to sum it up, it's more valuable than being a set shooter like a Danny Green, like a Jay Crowder, like a you know, somebody who can't really create for themselves. They have to have somebody create for them. They're really those type of basketball players that are standing in the corner waiting for the ball. They need a Russ to really distribute the ball and to catch them and give the, put the ball right in the pocket so they can knock down a shot. PJ Tucker, for example, he's not a Jason Tatum. That's not a guy who you're going to be scared of. Okay, I'm going to put the ball on the floor. He's going to break me down. You're not afraid of that, but you're afraid of Jason Tatum because of the fact that, you know, if you put the ball on the floor, he might put it on your head. You know what I mean? So KD might put it on your head. LeBron might put it on your head. You know what I mean? Kyrie might put it on your head. Booker might put it on your head. You know what I mean? Like, it's some type of Curry. He's going to create for himself, and he allows other people to create for him as well. So it's a dual threat with Curry. Players like that, they're more valuable in this league than those who are just 3-and-D. The 3-and-D player is everywhere. Everybody's the 3-and-D player.
And for some reason, there is a section of basketball fans that does not understand that fact. So if you think it's really simple to understand, you would be amazed. Like, I got to deal with this shit all the time, man, with comments on our TikTok videos of like, blah, 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 blah. I literally saw somebody have a TikTok video where they said Alex Caruso's a more valuable player than Zach LaVine. Let that fucking sink in for a second.
What the fuck? Hold on. Go back. Rewind.
I am not kidding. I couldn't react to it because he had something turned off on his TikTok thing. But a guy literally said that Alex Caruso is more impactful and winning is more valuable than Zach LaVine.
Was he an old head?
Our age. I'm not kidding. Way. There is a section of basketball fans that only believe what they were taught about the way they played in high school, what their talents were in high school, and how it somehow thinks that applies to fucking NBA players. No, it does not. If you saw Zach LaVine in person, trust me, you would change your mind when you saw a 6'6 guy floating fucking air like that and doing
right.
3-point line. Like let's make it honest here. You're not Zach LaVine, okay? You're just fucking not, okay? Don't apply what you learned in high school basketball onto these fucking professionals.
It's crazy because it's like, I thought that there would be a more clear-cut line in people's head between role players and star players. Clearly, a role player will have a 30-point game. You're like, oh, it's the best player on the team. It's like, and Zach LaVine had like 40. You're like, nah, it's this guy. How? Where does the disconnect happen?
It comes with the way people were taught about basketball. Because people get taught what is efficient shot and what is not. Because it only applies to people who played high school basketball. Like, even college dudes. College dudes can shot create, right? Like, college dudes have more freedom, right? And each level you go up, you get more freedom because they're more fucking talented, okay?
Yeah.
Like, goddamn. Like, you didn't have Kyrie Irving playing at your high school, then don't fucking talk about this, okay?
Yeah. Because
you don't understand it.
No, not at all. You really don't understand.
You'd be amazed what I have to fucking deal with on TikTok, people. I'm so sorry. You would just.
I love reading the comments
on our comments. I see the stupidest shit. It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous.
Yeah. So one thing I really wanted to go into, and you mentioned it earlier, was the Grizzlies, right?
Yes.
Ja Morant is coming off the bench right now. You know, for the Grizzlies. And so, like, they're playing good. What are your thoughts? How deep into the playoffs do you think if they can get Ja Morant back into the starting lineup, you know what I mean, get him back focused, you know, on basketball and basketball only, how deep do you think they can get into the playoffs?
Usually I have extreme faith in NBA-level coaches. Because NBA-level coaches are masterminds of getting people to play as a team while also balancing their egos of NBA player-level fucking guys. And balancing all that in together. But this is a rare situation where I just don't see a way for a head coach to get everybody playing in a winning level this quickly. Right?
Really?
Yeah, in the locker room, like, people are going to have issues, right? Like,
yeah.
Ja Morant not playing multiple games. I'm sure there's a section of the locker room that's more veteran-based. It's like, that was a stupid fucking thing you did. How the why the fuck did you do that? Type of vibes from the older guys. You know what I mean? And Dylan Brooks is being such a cancer. It's really hard because this is the way I would put it. When I personally view Dylan Brooks, I view Dylan Brooks and Ja Morant as when people go out of their way to try to prove themselves, they're usually insecure about something. The way Dylan Brooks is acting, the way Ja Morant is acting, leads me to think that they're not mentally ready to be champions. Right? Like, think about the champions of past. Think about how mentally ready Kobe was to win a championship. Yeah. Think about how mentally ready LeBron was to win a championship. They would have never done stuff like this. Yeah. Right? They never would have been seeking attention. They would never would have been going out of the way to... When people go extra out of the way to prove themselves, there is insecurity there. There is lack of mental toughness there. And that's my deduction here. Because you watch any winner that's ever played in the NBA playoffs, ever won a championship, they never look like this. Kawhi Leonard with Toronto Raptors, they never looked like this. Right? Like, the Golden State Warriors teams, even Draymond Green was doing this things for purposes. He would go get a tech because the ref were calling tight games. Right? Yeah. Like, there was a rhyme and reason to the craziness. Even with Rasheed Wallace and the Detroit Pistons teams, there's a rhyme and reason to the craziness. Right? Dylan Brooks is just being crazy because there's insecurity there. They are feeling the insecurity of not really... They're not ready to be champions. They don't have the mental toughness yet to be champions. And that's my feeling, is even though the roster looks good and the talent looks good and Jaren Jackson looks good.
Really?
They're not mentally tough enough. They're not mentally ready to be on center stage yet. Because nobody's ever looked like this before winning a championship. They always look calm and composed and just mentally ready. And you could just see the mental strength combined as a unit. You know what I mean? Like, you could tell. Mm-hmm. You can tell, like, Boston looks like that. Milwaukee looks like that. The Warriors still look like that, even though they don't have the talent to win it like that. Phoenix look like that. The Lakers look like that. Unit, we're mentally tough. We don't have to go out of our way to prove ourselves, right? We don't go out of our way, and there's something there. There's something off with this Grizzlies team to the extent of this and the way Dylan Brooks is acting. He's a key player for that team. And put that all together, man, I just don't believe in them mentally. There's something wrong here. They're not ready.
I'm gonna tell you what's wrong.
Okay.
They're young. They're too young. Yeah. They're just too young, plain and simple. Because with age comes maturity, comes experience, comes composure. You know what I mean? With age, you get a different set of skills. You know what I mean? And plus, they're new to this. I mean, they've only been in the league for a couple years.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So they kind of have to grow up in the league, right? Yes. So, like, they're used to being, okay, I can do this and nothing happens. I can do this and nothing happens. You know what I mean? I can do this. As long as we win in games, we're good. As long as we're still showing out, we're good. As long as we're still flamboyant, we're still flashy, we're good. But then you look at the other teams around the league, and no other team looks like that.
Yeah.
No other team looks like that, but they're just young.
Yeah.
It's youth. It's youth. You know what I mean? With youth, you know what I mean? You're more willing to jump off the, you know, top rope and be crazy. But when you get older and get more seasoned in the league, which I believe will happen next year, or maybe a year or two down the line, I feel like they'll eventually get it. They'll grow into it. Now, to answer the question that I had posed to you, I would say that strictly off talent and what I think they can accomplish in the way that the West looks as of right now, they can go second round. And that's as deep as they'll go.
Yeah, it depends on the matchup first round.
Yeah.
It depends on the matchup. But, you know, they have the talent to make the Western Conference Finals. They have the talent to make it to the NBA Finals. Right? Like... And I think part of the issue is there, too, is people don't understand how much a great culture can help a team like this. Like, if this talent was in Boston, Mm-hmm. And they had Bill Russell visiting the, you know, he's passed away, but Bill Russell type guys visiting the locker room, and Larry Bird and Kevin McHale and all these. We have a history of winning, and Paul Pierce and Kevin Garnett still around. They visit every once in a while. You know what I mean? Then you'd get to pick the brains of these type of guys, right? They don't have any history like that. And they don't mm-hmm. have anybody on the roster just like a Udonis Haslem. They desperately need a UD type of guy in the bench. You know what I mean? I feel like a lot of NBA teams have went away from having the old vets, but this Memphis Grizzlies team desperately needs an old vet that's been a champion, right? You know, they didn't really accept Andre Iguodala. Andre Iguodala had some issues with them, and basically the front office told them they were going to trade him, so he wasn't like really around. But a guy that they just signed that's on the edge of being a guy who's on the roster, a guy who's not. You know what I mean? And just sign him, bring him in. A guy that used to be a champion would really work there. Kevin Love. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, Warriors teams. You know, Barbosa's out of the league. Livingston's out of the league. Maybe J.R. Smith. J.R. Smith was a big leader. You know, Tristan Thompson. A guy that really understands the mental toughness that it takes to win a championship would really help this team. Serge Ibaka. You know what I mean? Like, mental toughness, understands winning. They need maturity and a old head voice that they believe in here.
Yes. Yes, they do. They really do. That's what they're really missing in the Memphis Grizzlies locker room. Like I said, they're just too young. They don't have a really seasoned veteran presence besides Steven Adams. Yeah. And Steven Adams has been close, but he hasn't won anything. And he's, you know what I mean? So they just need somebody like that. I will take a TT there, you know, or not Haslem, because Haslem's going to be a Miami Heat forever until he's dust. It's good. But like a...
PJ Tucker.
A PJ...
He won it with...
PJ Tucker or something like that. Well, he's with the Sixers now. Anybody, really. Anybody, you know, who has been in some form of capacity in a championship team is still, I mean, you don't have to have, UD don't even play. He sits on the bench half the game, but he's like, he's still there. He's there for a reason.
Yes.
So I think that they just need something like that there in Memphis. And I would say second round is as far as they go. Currently, I mean, as they are now, but once they get the level of maturity, they get a couple more heartbreaks under their belt, like Donovan Mitchell, they can go Western Conference. They have to become more mature, though.
Yeah, I agree. And it's interesting, but you know, when you have to say things and you got to prove it, and they just all year they've been a joke. They've been a joke to me all year. They really have been. Like,
yeah.
Until you win it, man, you can say it in the locker room, we want to be champions, right? You can try to say it to other people, we want to be champions. But you got to walk with that kind of energy and with the kind of the weight that it takes to be a champion, the mental toughness that it takes to be a champion. They don't seem like they understand it. They just don't seem like they understand it. And part of its youth, you're right, part of its lack of winning experience as a franchise, they just don't have anybody to bring in to talk to them about this. What do you have? Marcus All, Mark Hindley, you know, Mike Tony Conley, Allen. Yeah. Like those are dudes, but they didn't win, right? They don't
Z-Bo.
Win at that level. Right? So
they just
need winners there that know how to win. They'll get there after
they'll, that. Yeah, they'll eventually get there. But they're not there yet.
Yeah. I agree.
Also like that you mentioned that you know, about the veteran leadership part, because I was listening to a podcast a couple of days ago, the All the Smoke podcast, and Paul Pierce is on there, and he was saying that he really was happy that he was able to go back, and he needs to go back more, because he saw the importance of really going back and pouring into the young guys. And Kevin Garnett, you know, he said that Kevin Garnett had told him that, you know, he didn't really think it was that important, but he's going to start trying to go back more and being around the Boston Celtics, being around JT and JB, you know what I mean, Marcus Smart, and, you know, guys like that, so that they can really pour into them, because they have championship experience.
Yes.
They need to be around the locker room more. They need to be in the practices and, you know, and just show up and be show them that, hey, like, we're here, we support you, you know what I mean? When you see stuff like that, then you're more likely to, I guess, perform better. Because, you know, like, okay, look, I got the older guys behind me. That's why I feel like the Knicks and I hate to go on to jump off, have done it completely wrong. The fact that they have been taking like the older guys out of the out of the building, they can't come and watch the games anymore. Yeah. Nobody wants to be around James Dolan's team.
Yeah.
Has really screwed the Knicks.
Charles Oakley, that controversy.
Yeah.
Charles Oakley. Yeah, I feel you. Yeah.
It screwed the Knicks.
I think they still have Dave. What's that guy's name? From the 70s point guard. 71-72 championship team. Clyde Drexler.
Dave Bing? Oh, Clyde Drexler.
Walt Frazier. I think Walt Frazier still announces the games.
Okay.
Yeah. So I think he's around.
Yeah, but I would like him to be more available in the locker room, maybe. Yeah. I mean, announcing is cool, I guess. But how many of those young guys really know who Walt Frazier is? You know what I mean?
Hey, they got to see the banner up top every day they play in the home city.
Yeah.
That 71-72 banner. Phil Jackson was a bench player.
Yeah.
No, I have a theory. The bench player on NBA championship teams that nobody ever knows always become the best coaches. Like, it's ridiculous. Mm. Like, the Boston Celtics, for example, you know who was the best coach from that team? John Thompson. John Thompson coached Georgetown forever, coached Patrick Ewing. Allen Iverson, I had no clue he was a bench player for the Boston Celtics. Phil Jackson was a bench player for the 71-72 Knicks. Steve Kerr is a random bench dude. Greg Popovich is playing on the off the bench for, I forget. Right, like, somebody from that Warriors team, it's going to be either the Iggy, Barbosa, somebody is going to be a great coach. It's going to be some random-ass fucking dude. It's like, I'm the guy. You know what I mean? It's just so odd fucking correlation between bench players and NBA champions and, you know, great coaches. It's really weird, but it's funny to me. Yeah.
Yeah. Speaking of bench players, not saying this guy is one, but have you heard that Michael Jordan is seeking to sell the Charlotte Hornets?
Really?
Yes. He's looking to sell his percentage, his ownership of the Charlotte Hornets.
Does he realize he's like the worst owner in the NBA for the past 20 years?
I feel like he is. I feel like it's coming. I feel like that is starting to click. Light bulb is cutting on. Poor Mike.
You know, I feel like it's a good thing for the Charlotte Hornets because, again, for some odd, well, that's not an odd reason. It's very hard for people who are superstars to judge other people's talent because, you know, I think a lot of great athletes like Michael Jordan, they think that what made them great is the skill they added onto their athleticism. So they're going to scout guys with great skill, right? Adam Morrison, they drafted third overall, right? Well, no, your athletic gifts got you there. You know what I mean? Sometimes great athletes can understate how important their athleticism was to their greatness. You know what I mean? I think, well, that's a disconnect from Mike. He's drafted so many guys that have been like super overly skilled, like Zeller, Cody Zeller, post guy from Indiana, who's drafted like top five, who could have fucking moved, but he had good post skill. You know what I mean? Like, it's an odd thing. Great players have issues with that, and it's good for Charlotte. Charlotte doesn't have much to talk about. You know, I hate them more than anybody in the fucking NBA. You know, I still think that nobody develops young talent worse than them. Just look at the fact that LaMelo Ball won Rookie of the Year while coming off the bench for the first 40 games of the season. Oh, yeah, that's a fucking issue when you're not winning games, okay?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You draft James Bouknight, you draft Kai Jones, you draft JT Thor and Mark Williams, and they don't play more than 18 minutes a game, and you suck. You suck royally. Miles Bridges is on some, you know, not getting played in any games, and they still don't get any minutes. Like, it's just, they're stupid. They're beyond stupid. They don't understand how to develop young talent. So, you know, good for the organization to lose MJ. But if LaMelo Ball is listening to this, which chances are high because this is the greatest podcast in the world. LEAVE. Don't take the money.
Leave.
Okay?
Yeah.
Okay, he probably has to take the first contract because I think teams can match. Teams can kind of hold people prisoner. But when you can leave, leave.
Leave. Run far away. Far, far, far away.
You know what's up? I've heard some stupid shit this week.
What did you hear
this week of people being like, well, you know, in Minnesota, you know, Anthony Edwards is the guy, and Rudy Gobert and Karl Anthony Towns don't fit well together. And the answer to that should be trade fucking Rudy Gobert, who doesn't fit with Kat. But now people are like, trade Kat. He's a terrible player. Terrible player. Nobody is more underappreciated in the NBA than Karl Anthony fucking Towns.
That's okay? Very true.
That guy is a top 25 player in the NBA. I don't care what the fuck you say. All right. A center that averaged 27 a game last year, shot about 38-40% from the three-point line, averaged about 8-9 boards, and was a pretty decent defender, is special. Beyond special. Like, just because he's playing Minnesota, people don't understand how great Kat is. He can post. He can be in the mid-range. He has a handle. He can pick and pop from the three-point line. He can space from the three-point line. Every once in a while, he can take the ball from the three-point line and take it to the rim and finish where there's a lane there. That's a pretty freaking amazing center. There's not many dudes that can do that in the NBA. And he's a top 25 player in the NBA. He's a better player right now than Anthony Edwards, who people just love because he's so goddamn clippable. Because they love the highlights and they love the fact that he eats Popeyes and shit. You know what I mean? Like, okay, he has more highlights, but that doesn't make him the better player, goddammit. He might be in the future. He's got big upside. It's not like I'm hating on his upside. But Karl Anthony Towns is underappreciated. And if Minnesota wants to do some stupid-ass trades again, because they're one of the worst franchises in the NBA, anybody that trades D'Angelo Russell for Mike Conley's old ancient ass, when you have a young team, doesn't understand basketball. They do that, whoever robs them blind of Karl Anthony Towns may be an NBA championship next year. Because, goddamn, that guy's... I'm going to throw out names. He's better than Chris Bosh. He's better than fucking Chris Bosh. He's better than Bam Adebayo. Yeah. Oh my gosh. Bam averages 20. Is he a great defender? Yes. He averages 20. And he's like averaging 20 and 5. Like throw me a center, Chris. Throw me a center. Throw me a center all time.
A center all time?
Yeah.
Oh, Varejao.
He's better than Andre Varejao. You know, like for example.
Ben Wallace?
Better than Ben Wallace. Better than Rasheed Wallace. He's better than so many fucking guys. Like, he's not better than Kevin Garnett and Dirk. But he's, like, just below that. Like, better than Chris Bosh.
Serge.
He's better than Serge Ibaka.
Steven Adams. He's the inner.
Better than Steven Adams. He's better than Jaren Jackson Jr. He's a special guy. Like, I'm going to say it. You might think I'm crazy. I'd rather have them DeMarcus Cousins because DeMarcus Cousins in his prime. I'd rather have him than DeMarcus Cousins in his prime because he's more healthy. Like,
DeMarcus Cousins.
And you don't have to deal with the technicals. Like, I would rather have Kat, right? And that's how special he is. Like, Kat's ridiculous. Kat's beyond special. But for some fucking reason, people don't underappreciate it because they just don't like the style of play or some bullshit like that. It pisses me off. Like, Karl Anthony Towns has never had the team built around him. Imagine that. Even before Anthony Edwards got drafted, the team was built around guards. It was built around D'Lo and Malik fucking Beasley. Beasley was a pretty solid player, but god damn it. Right? Like, they've never been a system around him. Like, if you put him in somewhere that's going to win, like Dallas, for example, you would realize how ridiculous he is. And it just pisses me off to such an extreme degree that people hate on him so much. And I really hope he goes out of revenge tour at some point in time. That guy deserves to win. And I'm just so – it's stupid. It's beyond stupid, man.
He keeps on these long deal contracts. He needs to stop doing that and leave. Yes. It's clearly shown to you that Minnesota does not care about you.
Yes.
They have you, and then they go get Rudy Gobert to clog up the lane so you can't operate and force you into being a three-point shooter. Which you're one of the best three-point shooting bigs, but still, I mean, like, that's not your strength. You can bang down low with the best of them. I mean, it's fine. You can do it, too. Rudy Gobert does not have a book of post moves. He has one post move, and he's a kind of a lob threat, and he doesn't play defense. Like, that's not your best option. Then you go draft Anthony Edwards, and you make him your franchise. Kat is an afterthought. Anthony Edwards is the franchise. And Kat's been there longer and is the better player.
Yes, correct to all of that. No other franchise other than Charlotte would have this situation happening. Right?
Yes.
Like, even the Cavs, when before they had LeBron, wouldn't be this dumb. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, the Cavs is a terrible organization. They wouldn't be this dumb. Like, this is this is ridiculous. Could you imagine him in San Antonio? Carl Anthony Towns in fucking San Antonio. Pop would literally fucking nut right now. But you, it's like, come on. Pop, Pop with that would be amazing. Trust me, you would realize how good he is in fucking San Antonio.
You know what the problem is? Is that that story leaked where Jimmy Butler took the bench players and played against the starters, and Carl Anthony Towns is 5 years ago. Carl Anthony Towns is so soft. Wiggins doesn't have a heart. And it's like that has ran with him.
Let's get
he's an NBA champion. He's an NBA champion. Cat doesn't have any. Cat is soft, and that has been ran into the ground, and nobody believes in Cat anymore.
Yes. Get past what happened back then. It was a hell of an animated video, though.
Yes, it was.
Oh my gosh. Well, the Bleacher Report used to do those animated things where they would animate like crazy things going on. It was hilarious. It was like Game of Thrones parody.
Game of Zones. Game of Zones.
Yeah, that was pretty. That was elite entertainment. I don't know why.
Yes, it was.
Just do that forever.
Yeah.
Carl Anthony Towns, dude. Yeah. There's few teams that piss me off more than that, but you know who really pisses me off? Portland. You know, Dave, did you hear what Dave said? Dave said some sketchy stuff like, I'm going to sit out the rest of the year. I got to think about, he was thinking about it. Yeah, he was thinking about trying to leave maybe. Like, he said something that sounded like he was trying to leave. And it's just like, Dame Lillard, for some reason, is like the guy that gets cheated on over and over again and doesn't realize he's getting cheated on when, like, literally, like, a guy could show you a video of, like, your significant other doing special X-rated things on it, like, a video, and he would be like, bro, this is, you clipped this, you edited this, this is not real, right? Like, Dave's, like, so in denial. Like, dude, there is a reason why they traded CJ McCollum for picks and younger pieces. There's a reason when you had Josh Hart and you had all these defensive pieces that they traded them for fucking raw Cam Reddish and raw Kevin Knox. There's a reason why everybody's under the age of 25 on your team. They are rebuilding. They are lying to you in the offseason. Oh, we're trying to win. They're literally, could you imagine? This is Dame Lillard is getting fucking, I don't know what lies they're telling up there. I don't know if they've got a possess. I don't know if they got a voodoo spell on him. But for some reason, he's the most gullible player in the NBA because he buys that bullshit every year. Okay? Like, bro, you can't hide from the facts. They traded for Cam Reddish. They traded for raw guys. For what reason? They're trying to build for 5 years from now when you're going to be gone. Okay? Yeah. They're just using you to sell fucking tickets. Why don't you understand this? It's not about you being, oh, man, I'm from the city. I'm respectful. I'm loyal. Like, you're being loyal to a ridiculous degree. Your loyalty is being manipulated to sell tickets because, let me tell you something, Chauncey Billups was a great coach. They play great defense. They try on defense there. They would have kept Josh Hart. They would have traded for Matisse Thybul. We would be talking about them in the playoffs. I really believe that they would make the playoff picture if they didn't make those moves because they just needed an extra piece defensively. Okay, right? Like, that would have been great, but they don't want to win. They want you to sell tickets, and they want to build for 5 years from now because that's what's best for fucking them, okay? They don't give a shit about you. Your loyalty
at all
is getting manipulated. They are lying to you. They got a silver tongue. They're telling you one thing. They're doing a fucking another, okay? This is like somebody you this is the manipulative ex. This is, you know what I mean? Like, this is what it is. This is what the Portland Trailblazers are. They are using you for money, Dame. Leave. And hopefully that statement he said meant that he was trying to leave this summer. Because he deserves so much more. And he's in time. Time is not on his side anymore.
No. So what the whole thing said, right? Because I was like following it a little bit. So originally, before he made the comment, the Portland Trail Blazers, they were asking the coach or something of that nature. and they interviewed him, and they were he was saying, like, you know, because we're at the bottom, if we can't make a push, then we're just going to be thinking about shutting them down for the rest of the season, getting them ready for the next season. I'm like, okay, I guess that makes sense. If you're not going to win anything, why would you tire out your star player? And then when I heard, and then, you know, as like you did when he was talking to the interviewer, and he said, like, you know, I don't know if I will do it. I might, you know, step away from the game for a little, step away from the Trailblazers. I'm thinking in my head, like, if he's going to leave, this is the perfect opportunity to do so. Yes. Because everything you said is absolutely right. They traded away your defensive piece and got a bunch of young talent back. That's they're rebuilding with you there. Are you going to sit through another rebuild? Yes. Are you willing to do that?
By the time the rebuild ends, you will be fucking archaic. You will be sand on the fucking field. You'll be dead. Okay, you'll be like Egypt now. There's just sand. There's nothing there. Yeah, it'll be dead by then. It won't be the same.
He has too much loyalty.
Yes,
he has too much loyalty. I wouldn't be loyal to an organization that's not loyal to me. Because at the first opportunity to get if the Portland Trail Blazers could get Vic, they would trade Dame in a heartbeat. There's no loyalty there.
True.
They might ask him, where do you want to go? But he's gone. He's gone.
They lie. It's so obvious. But the reality is, when somebody's lying to you, the only thing you can trust is their actions, right?
Mm-hmm.
And their actions are saying, we are rebuilding for 5 years from now, and we don't give a shit about you, Dame, other than you making money for us. You're putting butts in seats. Oh, go for 70 points. Go for 60 points. You know what I mean? The intrigue. Oh, we want to come watch the Portland Trailblazers tonight. Watch Dame put up 60 for a team that's 30 and 52. Whoa.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But that's
yeah.
People only show up for Dame.
Really? Really, they do. That's it. Because they know they're not going to win. Yeah, they're not winning nothing.
No.
James like a, I mean, you know, for lack of a better analogy, James like a side. I mean, Dame is like a sideshow attraction. Really, they're like, yeah, come one, come all. See Dame Lillard drop, shoot from the half court line. Yes.
It's so sad.
Yeah,
it's just the reality, man.
That is the reality.
He's gonna go.
Yeah, he has to leave. We've been saying this for years, though. Like since we started since we started this podcast 2 years ago, we've been saying that he needs
we've been
to leave
right this whole time. So you know, keep on saying that until he retires.
Until he retires, Cat needs to leave. He should. Yes. Cat needs to leave. I don't think he should go to Phoenix anymore because Katie's there. Melo needs to leave now. Dame needs to leave. Yes. Yeah, those players need to leave. They need a better organization, a better opportunity, a better environment, so for them to be a better team.
Yes, I agree.
Yeah.
You know who I think will leave? I think Kai's not staying.
You don't think Kyrie's staying? I think so at first either, but go ahead. Why do you think he's not staying?
I think you can trust the untrustable move. I think you can trust the untrustable to do untrustable things.
Yeah.
And I just think Kai is going to be in the offseason and whatever the flavor of the moment is for him and his mentally of where he's going to go is where he's going to go. It could be San Antonio. Man, I really want to play in San Antonio. It's going to be some stupid-ass place, probably, or the Lakers, or... I don't know. It's just... The only thing I trust Kyrie to do is make a decision to leave somewhere. It's not like, you know, he's not a good player. It's not like I hate him as a human being. It's just, we can trust Kyrie to be Kyrie with the way he moves team to team.
Yeah. Well, I would given the situation and how he was trading kind of in the middle of the season, you know, and he said he wanted to go a certain place and he wasn't able to go there because they didn't want to help out LeBron, which I understand. It's a basketball. It's competitive. Everybody wants to win, but I just feel like it's just not the best place for him at that time. I feel like if he wants to go somewhere else, then he should. I want to see him stay because I feel like he could figure it out with Luka, but I feel like they're not quite getting it yet. And I feel like, and the main thing is when he first was traded, I said this on our platform here. I said that if they can go deep into the playoffs, I think he'll stay. I think if they could figure it out with a couple games, with the games that they had left at the time.
Yeah.
I was like, if they could figure it out and they can go somehow like deep into the playoffs, something that'll show them like, hey, we have something here, then he'll stay. But I feel that the way that the Dallas Mavericks are going right now, and, you know, Luka's used to playing hero ball so much, he's trying to figure it out, and Kai's trying to figure it out right now, I feel like they're not quite clicking like they should be at this point in time, and I feel like they're not looking like they're going to be that good of a team, so he might skedaddle because of that. I feel like he might try to jump ship to the better team.
I'm going to disagree with you. I think they're not having an issue clicking. They're just so ridiculously bad defensively that it doesn't matter. Like, unless they're putting up 60 in a game together, they have no chance of winning. That doesn't happen very often on NBA floor. And I think if, you know, Kyrie did stay, I think it would be great. But I think that he will probably make moves. But if I'm Dallas and if he stays, all I need is three defensive wings, okay?
Yeah.
Three defensive wings may sound like a lot, but it's not a lot because it's easy to get those kind of guys. And, you know, they get three defensive wings and they get maybe a guard rotationally that can defend four defensive guys, and now you're respectable.
Mm-hmm.
And you keep Christian Wood, and then you creep JaVale McGee, and you creep that one guy that shoots threes and spaces the floor. They're three good center rotation.
Mm-hmm.
I think they could go places. They could be an NBA champion. They just need to sign the right guys in the offseason, which I think they would do. I just don't think Kai is going to stay.
Given, I don't think he's going to stay either. But speaking of the Dallas Mavericks, did you hear about the way that Mark – did you see the game, right? The Golden State Warriors, Dallas, where Golden State Warriors got a free 2 points?
No.
Did you hear about that?
No.
Mark Cuban is really bringing a case to say that there was some cheating involved because they didn't let them know.
Oh.
So the refs – okay, so I'm paraphrasing, and I may or may not completely be – have everything correct, right? But I'm gonna say from what I was watching and things like that, and what I was hearing afterwards, the refs didn't quite. I mean, it was a out of bounds ball or something of that nature, and the refs did say that it was out of bounds ball. They didn't know which way it was going, so they said it was going to be the Mavs ball, right?
Mm-hmm.
So the Mavs go down the court. You know what I mean? They're ready to take the ball out, but as they're down the court, the ref hands the ball to the Warriors and they get a free 2 points.
Yeah.
Now, now you may think like that's not that big of a deal, but let me tell you, the game came down to 127-129.
Wow.
So that's those 2 points really had, you know what I mean? Those 2 points had made a big difference.
Yeah.
So it was a lack of communication between the refs and both teams, and they didn't, you know, because none of the refs, I mean, one ref had it right, one ref had it wrong, and they didn't know what they were doing, so they ended up just letting the game play, and they got free 2 points.
Yeah.
I think Luka got fined because he said that the refs were being paid. He did the money sign to him. So, I don't know. I feel like if it's clear cut like that, then Mark Cuban may have a case, but other than that, I don't really know. I don't. I feel like that's really messed up. I feel like the refs are terrible, and that there should be some kind of fine for refs when they're bad. But I don't think it's going to change the director because, I mean, the way that the game went because it's already decided.
Yeah. Yeah. Me personally, I think refs, I mean, I don't think Mark Cuban is going to win anything. NBA is not going to let him really keep that going. You know what I mean? To save pace. But I think the way to save the refs is put more money into them, put more money into keeping them NBA only refs. Cause a lot of them switch from college basketball to NBA, two different rule sets. And, you know, you put that together with, I just think a lot of the best refs are, you know, just it's really hard to be really good in the moment with these ridiculous athletes.
Yeah.
I feel like a sky cam type of situation. Like the camera that we watch, right? When we watch a game. We can see things so clearly, right? Some sort of camera like that where they can overrule decisions, I feel like would change everything. All you need is like an earpiece for that guy to just be somewhere in the building, not in the court. Earpiece. Okay, blah, blah, blah. You got that wrong, blah, blah. They can overrule everything. Right, just through their eye test of that, and I think that would be better. It would save a lot of time on replays too, because we usually see replays so quickly, right? It was like instant, right? And Yeah, I think some sort of camera, because technology is just too ridiculously advanced right now to not utilize that to make things smoother.
I agree. And then from one crazy finish to the next, did you see the Brooklyn Nets Cavs game?
Did not see that.
Okay, so.
Oh, is that when Donovan dunked on somebody?
No, I'm talking about Isaac Okoro hit the game winner.
He hit a shot? Holy shit.
He hit a game winner. He hit a game winner, right? So, Cavs were down 3. I think they were down 3.
Mm-hmm.
3, I think. I think they were down 3. They foul. Brooklyn Nets go to the line. And no. I'm sorry. Wait. They, okay, I think. Wait. I'm sorry. So the Cavs were down 3. I think the Cavs go to the line. And they're like, okay, so I think they take a free throw and they miss one. They get the rebound, they pull it back out, and they swing it to Isaac Okoro. He's open in the corner, knocks it down. Game.
That's crazy. That's crazy.
That's game. Yeah. That's really crazy.
Whoever faces the Nets in the first round is getting the easy series. They're just not the same without KD and Kai, which is normal.
Yeah.
No Ben Simmons either. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, Ben Simmons with his back injury, his nerve injury, so he's going to be out there. Not that I expect him to do anything anyway. He's like one of the worst basketball players ever, but that's besides the point. Well, thank you all for listening. You know what I mean? I hope you enjoyed the conversation today, our content. You know what I mean? Thank you for, you know, supporting, for liking and following and sharing and subscribing on TikTok and YouTube. You know, we're growing this community for us. You know, this is a safe space. So I read all comments. Jason reads all comments. We may think some of them are stupid, but that's fine. It's a safe space. So you got anything you want to say, Jay, before we close it out?
Hey, there's going to come a point in time, guys, where that draft stuff's going to come around. I'm telling you, whenever the draft comes around, you need to tune into my Big Board Top 30. Nobody's going to give you guys a better one. Yeah, I'm already at 60 players scouted. I've watched full games of 60 players, and I've watched 2 games of 50 players out of the 60. Full college games. That's like hours and hours and hours of effort and research into this draft. When it comes out, you must tune in.
Yeah. Alrighty, well, once again, thank you, Chris Muhammad.
I'm Jason Collins.
And we are the Basketball Addicts. Peace.
Ouch.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.